What's that? If I get a phone call from the Secretary of the President of the United States and saying that the President wants to see you and he wants you to stay with his family in the White House for a few days, and he will send his Gulfstream jet to pick you up from the Tucson Executive Terminal, do you think I would be excited? Yeah, probably I will tell everyone about it. However, I have an appointment with this one who is greater than President of the United States of America. He is the creator of the universe. He is the owner of all the people's lives. He is the one who is holding the lives together. And I have an appointment with him in heaven. That's where I'm going to be. That's where you're going to be if you're a born-again Christian. Let me tell you this, as you heard from Ben Paul's song, if you are not born again Christian, you will not go to heaven. If you're not sure whether you're born again or not, then you are not, pretty much. Being religious doesn't mean a thing to anyone, especially to God. It might make you feel good, but religion doesn't do anything because it's man-made. The only thing God accepts is through what God offers. Am I missing something? Wait. No, okay, fine. You gentlemen standing there, so I thought I missed something. So I have an appointment with him. Don't worry about the thing. Thank you. I have an appointment with God our Lord in heaven to meet him. Now, we are about to finish this book, grand book, the most controversial book in the Bible, Revelation. And we are about to finish this book, and we are going to see the glimpse of the tiny portion of heaven. And there's a lot of things for us to cover, so we'll continue to think about it. Heaven sure beat the hell, literally, right? I'd rather be in heaven, and all of you rather be in heaven than hell. Why is that? It's obvious. But more than being in heaven, there's some things that excites me more than anything else is I get to see my Jesus. Amen. I get to see my Savior. And I will see him. I will touch his hand. I will touch his feet, the nail-scarred hands and feet, and worship him throughout eternity. In my opinion, that would be the most exciting thing. I don't know why you would go. You want to go to heaven, other than just fire insurance paid, so I don't end up burning in hell. That's a good motivation. That's a good reason. However, there should be more definite reason. You want to see your God. You want to see your Creator. Then that will be the main reason to have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Before we start the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation, think about what I just said. The most important thing you will do in heaven. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that we are about to receive. We are asking your hand to be upon this whole service. You speak to all of us through your word. And let your anointing be upon your word and the one who speaks. And forgives his sins, for his sins are many. And we lift up our mission team who is heading out to already on the way to Nogales, Mexico, to spread your love to those precious people, brothers and sisters in Nogales, Mexico. We are asking your guidance upon them and protection. We also lift up our troops in the Iraq and Afghanistan and South Korea, wherever they are. We're asking you to protect them, and through this difficult time, away from their family, they may come to know Jesus. And we also lift up our law enforcement around the community, police officers, sheriff deputies, and federal agents, all of them. They may be protected, and we might be the one to be used by you to witness to them, to bring them close to you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 22 of the book of Revelation, please. And he showed me the pure river of the water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and the Lamb. God's provision for the New Jerusalem is bountiful, and it's described that there is no pollution. This is a pure water, abundant water. No wonder why it's abundant and pure, because it comes straight from the throne of God. So everything he does is absolutely pure. But it's a fascinating thing that when I read Ezekiel chapter 47, let's go to Ezekiel chapter 47, please. This is not only prophetical, it is very practical portion. Ezekiel is located in the Old Testament right before Daniel, please. Chapter 47 of Ezekiel, verse 3. Ezekiel 47:3. Are you there? Okay. When the man went out and to the east, and with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits. He brought me through the waters. The water came up to my ankles. Underline the ankles. It is very important because we're going to go back in each location. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The water came up to my knees, underline knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and he brought me through. The water came up to my waist. Again, he measured 1,000. It was the river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep. Water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. Verse 6, he said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me and then returned me to the bank of the river. Guys, God never forced his way into our lives. He doesn't want us to go any deeper than we desire. If we want him to take us into deeper water, he will. However, he will not force his way around. Remember, I asked you to underline the ankle. These people, standing on the Word of God, standing in the word water of the life of God, and they are ankle deep, and they are saved. However, because they choose to stay there, they cannot go any deeper than that. They don't understand the meaning of maturity. There are a lot of people who are like this. To them, Jesus is a Savior. Not a whole lot of load in their lives, because they are still trying to control their own lives. Then there's another group of people who water of life went up to their knees. These are the people who say, I want more than just standing on the water of life or Word of God. I'm going to get on my knee. Use me in your ministry. I will pray. So they get on their knees and pray. And there are another group of people. It goes up to their waist, which represents, in my opinion, is reproduction. What they're doing is, they're not good enough. It's not good enough for them to stand in the Word of God. It's not good enough for them to get on their knees and praying for other people in accessory prayer. But also, they want to add more people to the kingdom of God. So they're witnessing to the other people around in their family, in their friends, to their friends, and then at their workplace. Can you see the difference, the variation from the ankle who just standing, not going any deeper, and the group of people who get on their knees and praying, and the people who get merging into their waistline and reproducing other Christians. And there are a group of people who would immerse completely under the water of life. And these people who tell God, I'm going to let go. You do whatever you want to do, Lord. Take me deeper into your word, into your life, that I may completely immersed in your life and I may serve you wholeheartedly. Which group of people would you rather be? You want to stand on the word of God, just saved? Or would you intercede at people and stop there? Or would you just bring the people to Christ and stop there? Or would you go all the way in so that God can use you however He wants to use you? It's your choice. It's not God's choice. God made everything clear to you and me, however He wants us to choose. There are a lot of people who are missing out the blessing because they choose not to follow God, not completely immersed into the water of life. Maybe right now your walk with Christ might be stagnant. And you might be standing there and on the ankle, touching water touching your ankle. Why not jump all the way in? Let God do it. There's so much blessing awaiting for you. All you have to do is just jump in, let Him catch you, let Him take you wherever you need to go. You will never regret it.
Amen.
So let's go to verse 2. In the middle of the street and on the other side of the river was the tree of life, which bore the 12 fruits. Each tree yielded its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for, underlined, healing of the nations. Bible begins with the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. We find in Genesis chapter 3, verse 22 to 24. Man was now allowed to eat the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And also they are now allowed to eat the fruit from the tree of life. But now this tree of life is available to man. Some people wonder if we will eat in heaven. I hope so. I don't know how to cook. My wife and my kids are convinced that I have a problem boiling water. I can boil water. I can do that. But I don't know how to cook anything other than sushi. In case you don't know what the sushi is, the raw fish. You just eat raw fish. Now, I do believe we will eat in heaven. I don't think we will eat because we need to eat, because we want to eat. How do I know? Let me put it this way. Angelic being at and with Jesus. Let me put it this way. When Jesus was resurrected from the tomb, He is a spiritual being. What did He do? He asked for food because the people were not the disciples were not convinced. So He asked for food, the fish and the bread. And when Jesus, Christophany, who was an Old Testament Jesus, He visited Abraham with a couple of angels before they went down to the Sodom to destroy the Sodom and Gomorrah. What did He do? He had a meal with Abraham. Not only that, when we get to heaven, there was a big supper known as the marriage supper of Lamb. So obviously we are going to eat. However, guys, get this. It won't be necessarily a low-carb diet. You can eat as much as you want, not gain weight. That's no wonder why He calls it heaven, right? However, in my opinion, there will be a lot of angels' food cakes, but no deviled eggs. And you don't have to worry about the cholesterol. Why the nation need healing? Does it mean that there is something wrong during this time in heaven and throughout the eternity? No. However, this healing word is not rendered correctly. The Greek word for the healing is therapeia. Do we have that? Therapeia? Therapeia. Therapeia. We will get the English word derived from this word that is therapeutic. Therapeutic is more than, it's not just healing, it's more like a strengthening, ministering, health giving. So actual rendition should be, instead of a healing, it should be health-giving and ministering or serving. So strengthening and serving the nation, that's what these leaves will do. Let's go into verse 3. And there shall be no more curse, underline no more curse, and the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it. And His servant shall serve Him, underline serve Him. They shall see His face, underline, see His face. His name shall be on their forehead, underline that too, please. And there shall be no more night there, underline that too. And you might think that, Why underline? Well, you use that book, so if you're using that book, might as well do underline, highlight, write something there, right? Instead of making it pretty and keep it clean all the time. They need no lamp and no light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Some Christians have this notion about heaven. When they get saved and go into heaven, of course they are excited about heaven, new place, and so they fly around all over. A few days later, they get bored, so they get sitting on the top of the cloud about 40,000 feet above the ground, and sitting there playing harp with this fat, naked, baby look-alike angels playing harp. That's not what the heaven is look like. In my opinion, we are not going to be bored to tears. We're going to be busy. First of all, we're going to worship our Lord and Savior. We will see Him, and this is what's going to happen. Here, first thing that we find is there is no more curse. When the sin came into mankind in the Garden of Eden, the first thing happened is God told them is that there will be a pain in the birth. Ladies, you know that if you bore the child. I don't know, but I had a close one. I passed the kidney stones. Somebody told me that passing kidney stone for men is about equivalent to the ladies. Maybe so. Not only that, there are the pain of death. And the guys had to go out, work with their hands. This all happened because of sin. That curse will be lifted up. Instead of curse, there will be a throne of God, and God Himself will reside with us. What a change, wouldn't that be? Now, what we will do in heaven throughout eternity, we will serve Him. Yes, we will worship Him, but we will serve Him. What kind of service are we going to do? I believe our service will be perfect because there won't be any, we will not be handicapped by our sin, sinful nature. So whatever we do will be perfect. It will be perfect service in perfect environment. What kind of service will that be? There's a lot of things that people speculate. I'm not going to go there because I don't know. And when the Bible is silent, I should be silent. Heaven will be a place where Jesus will be seen to us clearly. No longer we will have any problem seeing Him face to face. And our cares and worries will not hinder us from seeing Him. Heaven will be the place where God's people will be identified with Him forever. Remember, He will write our name on our forehead, His name on our forehead. So that means that we will be identified with Him. Heaven will be the place where the darkness of the age will be forever gone. Let me ask you this. What is the definition of darkness? Can you tell me? Absence of light. Very good. A lot of people think that, well, just dark or turn off the light. To be exact, it's absence of light. That was at the beginning. However, once He comes, make a heaven available to all of us, there won't be any more night. There won't be any artificial light like this one. And there won't be any sun available. It's not necessary because God Himself is a light. Bible opens with the paradise lost. Now, Bible closes with the paradise regained. All the identity we had with Adam and Eve, they walked with God in paradise. But they got kicked out because of their disobedience. Because Jesus Christ, we got the identity back. The intimacy between man and God will be restored, and the curse will be lifted up. Verse 6, then He said to me, the word of faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent His angels to show His servant the things which must shortly take place. Behold, I am coming quickly, underline quickly, please, important. Blessed is he who keeps the word of the prophecy of this book. Underline, keep the word of this prophecy, please. Apostle John is reminding us certainness of this event and that Jesus is coming. He is a reminder for that he is coming quickly. Now, this word quickly is rather important. Jesus said quickly. However, when he left earth, he told his disciples he will come back quickly. And he hasn't come back for almost 2,000 years. Was he wrong? No, he's not wrong. Again, this is the problem of the lack of a translation, lack of word. In my opinion, the word quickly, the Greek was a taku, T-A-C-H-U, taku, there we go, equals suddenly. So if you change a word, I'm coming back quickly, instead of quickly, if you say I'm coming back suddenly, it makes certain sense. Now, Word of God said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, Jesus, through the Apostle Paul, Jesus said to him, 1,000 years like one day, and 1 day is like 1,000 years. To him, he's been gone less than two days, correct? I'm just hoping that he doesn't wait for the third day to come. He hasn't gone that long in his timetable. However, he knows all the pain we go through because of the sinful nature we cause. Prophecy of God, I ask you on the line, keep. Prophecy of God is not here to debate or to make an interesting subject to talk about. It's here for us to keep, folks. Book of Revelation, if you have any thinking that the book of Revelation is there so that we can talk about it and argue about it, that's not what it's there for. Prophecy of Revelation is there for us to keep. Okay? Let's continue verse 8. Now I, John, saw the heard these things, and when I heard and saw, I fell down and worshipped before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. And he said to me, So see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant and of your brethren the prophet, and of those who keep the word of this book, worship God. Hear me, please. No created being should be worshipped. In the contrast here, Jesus who received worship from everyone throughout the entire scripture. If it's wrong for us to worship the glorious heavenly messenger, how can it be right for us to worship Virgin Mary? Some of you know that we have a radio program called 1 Minute of Truth on KNSD around 5:16, 5:19 that time in the afternoon, commute time. I mentioned this, and boy, did I ever get a nasty phone calls and emails from the Catholic brothers and sisters. They got upset because I called Virgin Mary a sinner. Is Virgin Mary a human? If she is a human, she is a sinful person just like you and me, just like the rest of us. Why would you worship another sinful human being? There's only one who deserves our worship. That's not a human being. That's not an angel. That's not Virgin Mary. That's the one, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. No one else. Angel worship is not anything new. It's been going on for a long time. However, it's been adopted by the New Age people who lives in, a lot of them lives in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and Sedona, Arizona. And a lot of them lives in Tucson, too. I call them La La Land people. Contrary to the popular Hollywood theology, get this, guys, dead people don't become angels. And angels don't become people. So if you base your theology on the City of Angels, the movie, you got the wrong theology. Let's continue verse 10. And I wonder how many nasty phone calls I'm going to get after this. Do you think I'm afraid? And he said to me, do not seal the word of the prophecy of this book. Underline this phrase, please. For the time is at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. Time is at hand. Remember when we studied the book of Revelation chapter 16, I mentioned, we just read that the angel will dry up the Euphrates River so the 200 million soldiers from the kingdom of the east will come across. When I was in Israel, our tour guide mentioned this. He's not a born-again Christian, but he knows the word of God. He said this, Turkey is in the process of building biggest dam in the world. That dam is located in the Euphrates River. That goes down to the Iraq and Syria. All right? Think with me. They're building the dam that can literally control the water flow of the Euphrates River. If they choose to block the water flow, guess what happened? Water gets dried up in Iraq and Syria. That means 200 million soldiers can come across. Soon as he mentioned the Turkish dam, Revelation 16 came into my mind. Do you think time is at hand? You can bet your life on that thing. Amen. Jesus is coming soon. Are you ready? Amen. If you're not ready, you better. I'll give you a chance at the end of the service. By reading this verse 11, God does not want the people to be saved? No, that's not. That will be contrary to what the gospel has been teaching and this book has been teaching. What he meant is that we have to go back within context. Behold, I'm coming quickly, and for time is near. So there will be a time. There won't be a time for the people to change their mind. It will happen certainly, and so it will happen such a time, short time. People cannot change their mind. If they are filthy, they cannot be changed. If they are unrighteous, they cannot be changed. This is a solemn warning, in my opinion, for us. And decision determines character, and character determines destiny. Did you get that? Our decision will change our character, and our character will change the destiny where we are going to spend our eternal life. Verse 12. And behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his command, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and they may enter through the gate into the city. But outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters, whoever loves and practice a lie. The title Alpha and Omega is a Greek word. It means from the beginning to the end, first and the last. These two of the titles are the irrefutable messianic title. That means Jesus is the Messiah. That means Jesus is God himself. This is a great portion for you to use against the Jehovah's Witness and Mormons. And also you might want to jot it down, Isaiah 41:4 as a cross-reference verse. Let's continue in verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angels to testify to you these things in the church. Underline churches. And next phrase, underline again. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Book of Revelation is written to the churches. By the way, this word church is not mentioned since chapter 2 and 3. That means after the rapture happened, there is not a church on the earth until the church comes back with Jesus Christ. This book is not provided for the small group of elite spiritual people. It's written for everyone. For everyone to receive and find the truth. I ask you to underline the root and offspring of David. Again, this is a precious messianic title. He is a line from the David's dynasty. He is the creator of the King David, and also he is the descendant of King David. How can it be? That's why he's God. One speaks of humility, and the other one speaks of majesty and glory. Let's continue in verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride said, Come, and let him who hears say, Come, and let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Folks, this is an open invitation, not just one area, people, but to receive the salvation from Jesus Christ, everyone. He's not excluding anyone to come to Him. Invitation from Jesus Christ brings opportunity and responsibility. Hear me well, please. You have an opportunity to come to Christ if you are not a born-again Christian. Same time, you have a responsibility. If you say yes to God and you come to Him, you become born-again Christian, you will receive His eternal life in heaven. However, when you say no, that responsibility falls onto your lap. And nobody can say God is sending people to hell. He doesn't. Do you know who sent you yourself to hell? Yourself. Your decision. That's the responsibility you have to bear. Of the world religion demands that we should bring something to their gods, little g gods. However, our God says everything is done, you come freely. Take this water freely for your thirst. When other gods said, do this, do this, do this, and our God says, it is finished. It is done. There's nothing for us to do. If we come up with something for us to make our way to heaven, that is not salvation. Let me give you a formula. Salvation plus work equals nothing. Did you get that? Salvation plus work equals nothing. But salvation plus nothing equals eternal life in Christ Jesus. It's a simple formula. Verse 18. For I testify to everyone who hears the word of prophecy of this book. Underline this one, please. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that were written in this book. Verse 19. And if, on the line, next phrase, if anyone takes away from the word of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, from the things which are written in this book. This means that it costs extreme price for anyone to tamper with this word of God. Not just this book, in generally the Bible itself. There are a lot of people who will tamper with the Word of God. Thomas Jefferson is one. How many of you guys remember Thomas Jefferson as a great ancestor of the United States? Seems like he was a great godly man. He is not. Why? Because he didn't like some portion of the Bible, what Jesus said, so he cut out from the Bible, as if that's going to take the Word of God from the Bible. Folks, I said this before, I will say it again. The Word of God is not a buffet table. You cannot pick and choose. Either you take the whole thing, you reject the whole thing. You cannot pick and choose. You cannot alter. You cannot change. You cannot temper. If you choose to do that, you bring consequences to yourself. There are people who does this kind of thing. Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, cult leaders, false doctrine leaders. They will change the Word of God to suit their needs, to suit their desires. I'm glad I'm not going to be them on the day of judgment in front of white throne. Continue in verse 20. He who testified to this thing says, Surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Underline that, please. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. I think that the Apostle John is a kind of a southern person, you all. Book of Revelation contains many prophetic events. The book closes with the grace of God to His people. I actually underlined, come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus. That's the Aramaic expression known as Maranatha. Come, Lord Jesus, quickly. Let's make one application. To the believers of Jesus Christ, heaven should not be only the destination, but it should be motivation to live the life in Christ Jesus. To those who are in Christ Jesus, we will go to heaven. Yes, we will go to heaven, but it's better than just going to heaven. There's something better. You know what? You know what that is? Not only taking somebody with you, but living the life pleasing to His sight. Why would you like to have Jesus Christ as just the Savior in your life? Why not Lord in your life? Why would you stand in the water of life ankle deep only? Why not lunge yourself into the deeper water where you can have a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ? If you don't have that desire, I'm wondering why. Let's stand up and pray.